They gotta eat every day. I only have to eat. If they didn't have to eat, I wouldn't have to make these things, you know. And this is a paragon of Alcoholics Anonymous, you know. And I'm just, the point is that my actions didn't say that. I went ahead and made their lunch, shoved it at them, and they tripped merrily off to school. If an alcoholic who has received the benefits of the program continues to drink, the individual may be said to be failing. But if the sponsor gives up, the sponsor is failing. The program never fails. The program never fails. But we're humans. You know, I have learned more from my failures at sponsorship than I have from my successes. There's this one old broad you just love her. Drunk as a tooth right now. She's a great big gal. She plays classical piano like you wouldn't believe. She is an artist of great note. And I mean, she's an actress. But she can't stay sober if she stood on her patoot. I mean, she's just really hopeless. And I learned more from her because I was going to will that girl sober. Absolutely will her sober. Don't you dare drink. Don't you know you're going to die and all. Threats didn't help, nothing helped, and she's still drinking. She comes back and visits us. And as Dick said, you know, when she comes back, she usually gravitates over and kind of nudges up and, you know, says, "Will you sponsor me again?" And I have sponsored her again and again and again. And I have learned a lot from her, and I love her. She has the right to drink. She has the right to drink, you know, and I can't stop her when she has that right. We believe that a drinking alcoholic is a sick man incapable of thinking clearly and without the necessary control of his actions to follow a reasonable line of conduct. But the sober sponsor is supposed to be a qualified instrument of the program and therefore never uses the failures of the drinker as an excuse for giving up. Can't give up because they keep drinking. Until the time when the drinker says that he does not want help. And if he says, "I don't want your help," I say, "Bye-bye. Because I don't have time." You know, I don't think any of us, we should be helping someone who, there's too many of us who know. You know, one of the wonderful things about sponsorship, and one of the reasons for it, because I got a feeling that as big as this area is, it's getting ready to explode. And there are going to be so many people who need sponsoring that all of you are going to have to help do it, you know. Because if you don't, you know, remember how lonesome you felt when you got here? How lonely and lonesome? And here come hundreds of lonely, lonesome people. And they need to feel in this huge, vast thing that is Alcoholics Anonymous now, they need the personal touch. They need that one person who's going to be there to help them. Not all people asking for help have a desire to stop drinking. Remember, there's only one requirement for membership, and that is a desire to stop drinking. Sometimes it is necessary to help the newcomer make a decision to stop drinking. That is why we have the 12-step call. We tell the newcomer of our experiences, not just with alcohol, but with alcoholism, with the disease of alcoholism, what it has done to us, and then share how we recovered and let him choose. Very briefly, let me give you what I have sort of set down as stages of pigeonship. Not chip. Ship. Marlin. Oh, Marbette sitting over there. You get the first stage that you're going to find is the anything, anything. You know, these are the people, you know, they're the first brand new people, and they go, "This is my sponsor." And then they walk around holding the hand of what they consider to be their higher power at that point, you know. And they show up, you know, and they go over to anybody who'll listen and say, "That's my sponsor over there," you know. And it's very much like childhood, adolescence, and adulthood. Childhood is dependency. Children are dependent. You know, they don't know how to fix stuff. You know, they don't know how to cook and sew and stuff. So you take care of them, you know. And then they get to be adolescents, and this is the nothing stage. They ain't going to do nothing. I'm on my own now. I can do it. I can make decisions all by myself. I'm a big girl. That is what you call the independent stage. You know, where they're gonna And usually what I do is I usually say, well, you have that right. You have the right to be dead wrong. But they do have the right. No. So I let go of that. I suggest a certain thing of action, and then, and usually, you know how an alcoholic, you know how we are. If you tell me that I have to do something, I say, no, sir, I don't have to do it at all. And then you tell me, you say, well, no, you don't have to do it. Then I say, well, I want to do it. You know, when you tell me I have to, I don't want to. But when you tell me I don't have to, I want to. I'm real contrary. And that's that stage of independence. And so we have to learn to deal with it in that direction. And then there's that stage where you are kind of growing out of your adolescence and you're into, okay, okay, you're probably right. You know, that sort of resignation of, yeah, you've been right before, so I guess you're right now. I don't like it. And, you know, usually I will say something like, doesn't matter to me whether you like it. Oh, it doesn't matter to you if I like it or not? Nope, doesn't matter to me. Well, okay, then I guess I like it. You know, and then they go on about their business, doesn't it? Finally, you get to the stage of I'm okay, you're okay. So it really, you go from a stage of dependency to independent to interdependent. And the best sponsor-pigeon relationship is an interdependent relationship. And that, my friends, is an adult. An adult is interdependent. And that's what we all hope to go through. Thank you.
You know, the sponsor can and will and should be willing to help their pigeon in a multitude of ways, but none of them will have a greater effect than the example that the sponsor sets. It's the example that we set. You know, the old phrase, remember what you are, speak so loudly that I can't hear what you're saying. So what we have to do is to be the best members of Alcoholics Anonymous we can be. And the object is to do those things that, don't ask someone to do something that you can't do. Don't ask someone to do something that you aren't willing to do. Don't ask someone to do something that you have not had the experience in doing. And be polite. Alcoholics Anonymous, if you really want to put a test to it, is it AA or not? Ask yourself, is it polite? And it is polite to be honest. It is polite to tell the truth. We don't have to be brutally honest. I don't think there is such a thing as brutality, and there is such a thing as honesty, but I don't think there is such a thing as brutal honesty. I think that we can be frank, and I think that we can be forthright, and I think that we can be kind. And I think kindness is the measure. You know, people come to you as a sponsor because they think that you have wisdom. And wisdom is a combination of two things. It's a combination of love and intellect. And without one, it can't exist. If it's just love, all we do is just baby it. And if it's intellect, all we do is tell them. But a combination of love and intellect is wisdom. And I think what they do is they come to us for wisdom, what they believe to be wisdom, what we believe to be really practical solution, part of the practical solution of being able to be, stay sober and to get over the guilt and the low self-esteem that they have in their lives. But it's much more, sponsorship is much more than just taking a new person to a meeting and seeing them through beginner's meeting. At the very minimum, it should develop into a helpful relationship. And it should include this frank exchange of confidences, and that you have to understand that it's in every area of your life. You know, my sponsor knows everything about me that there is to know. He knows where I came from and what I did and where I am and what I'm doing today. When I call him each week, I tell him what I have done that past week and what I'm going to do the next week, what my plans are, and if I have any questions about what to do, I ask him and take the direction that he gives me. And I tell him this so that I don't stray away. And I talk about everything, every part of my life. It really doesn't make any difference what part of it is. I'm willing to talk about anything that he wants me to talk about. Because if I share myself, then something happens. You know, I'm giving myself away, but, you know, he gives himself to me at the same time. In this frank exchange, when people talk about taking a fifth step with their sponsor, I will not sponsor someone who will not do a fifth step. And people say, oh, well, the big book doesn't suggest that. It suggests that you find, you know, maybe a priest, or maybe a this, or maybe a that, or just a well-meaning friend, you know, someone that you can really trust. What the hell is a sponsor if the sponsor isn't a well-meaning friend? Sponsorship had not developed when the big book was being written. It really hadn't developed into what it is today. And I always have to remember that in the big book it says, cling to the thought. In God's hands, your deep, dark past is your most valuable asset. And with that, you can help others avert death and disaster. And I have to remember that. And when someone does a fifth step with me, I do a fifth step with them. They know about me like I know about them. And the question would be then, well, what if your sponsor gets drunk and goes around and tells about you? Big deal. Big deal. There really isn't anything that I have ever done in my life that I haven't shared at a meeting in one way or another, eventually. Usually in a general way, not a specific way, but sometimes even in a specific way. I had a habit of telling those things that I didn't want to tell anybody else ever that I was going to take to my grave with me at a men's meeting, at a men's stag meeting. Every anniversary, I would drop another one on them, you know. And I ran out after a while. I just didn't have anything else to tell them. It wasn't, you know, there isn't anything significant in my life, really, that I'm afraid to tell anybody or that I'm afraid to share. And, you know, it's kind of funny. I've sponsored an awful lot of people, and I've taken over 100 fifth steps, I know. And they never gather together and talk about me and try to put this together and publish it in a newsprint or something like that. They do, I'd kill them. But, you know, we need to know many things about the pigeon that are not ordinarily disclosed in ordinary conversation. You know, I'd get drunk and go to jail and go to work the next day, and somebody would say, my God, you look bad. And I'd say, well, you'd look bad, too, if you spent 6 hours in the fifth precinct over here. You know, I couldn't say that. And so I had to say, oh, yes, I've got the flu. I had to lie. Well, I don't have to lie anymore. I can be truthful. I can tell somebody. A sponsor should be understanding. And believe me, I've never been shocked by anything that anybody has ever told me. I don't know whether you have or not, but I've never been. I'm just unshockable. You know, there just isn't anything new, because there isn't anything that anyone has ever done that I wouldn't have done myself had I been in the same position. I would have done the same exact thing. I know that. I don't care whether it's murder or mayhem or what. It really doesn't make any difference. I can understand, because I'm an alcoholic, and an alcoholic does things. You know, like Peggy says, we're never boring. That's for damn sure. And I would have done anything, and I know that I was capable of doing anything. I certainly thought about murder. My poor ex-wife, if she'd have known the amount of time I spent thinking about how to kill her off, she would have gotten an armed guard, I think. But the sponsor confides too. You know, I tell about my past. I share my past with them so that they can understand that I understand. Sometimes I speak in parables. You know, they say, come to me with this terrible problem. I'll start telling and sharing about me and something that happened to me. And they find the answer in that. But these matters include not only problems related to drinking, but concerning finances, their financial situation, their home life, their business or work situation, anything else that affects the peace of mind of the individual. Anything. It doesn't make any difference. Because there are principles to follow that will get you out of any situation you're in as long as you stay sober. Fellows that I sponsor have one very simple thing that they know. They can do anything in God's earth that they wish to do. And I really don't care what they do as long as they don't drink. Because sober, we can get out of anything. Drinking, we can't do anything. We're lost. If you get drunk, you're dead. We can't help that. But we can help someone who's sober. So don't drink. That's the first principle that I teach everyone that I sponsor. I don't care if you kill your... Just don't drink about it. You know, come and tell me, for crying out loud. You know, we'll get you a good lawyer. But it isn't limited, really, to the early part of sobriety. Sponsorship is a continued relationship. And as Peg says, eventually it changes into one of mutual aid and trust and respect. And usually friendship. Now, I don't always like all the people that I sponsor, and I want you to know that. And some of them I've sponsored for years, and I still don't like them. But I don't have to like them. All I have to do is to help them. And sponsoring those people that I like really makes me the best member of Alcoholics Anonymous I can be. Because then I have to really be principled, don't I? I have to really stick to what those things are that I know that are most sensible for them. And so they make me a very good member of Alcoholics Anonymous when I'm dealing with them, I can tell you. There are a lot of things to take into consideration when the sponsor decides to take a newcomer under his wing. First of all, is the newcomer serious? Does he really want to stop drinking? Or is he just using the sponsor to get connections, money, or a place to flop for a while, or trying to get back in the big bed with his wife, or whatever it happens to be? It's all right to help the newcomer with these problems at the right time and the right place, but too much too soon they can't handle. So very gradually integrate them back into a way of living that they can stand. Don't throw it to them all at once because they can't handle everything at once. Just give them one thing to do at a time, and when they finish with that one, give them another thing to do, and another, and another, and another, until they can learn to live their life comfortably without drinking. Get over the problem. Help them through each and every problem very gradually so that they can do that. They might be skeptical and reject all the ideas, but it'll be up to you to explain bit by bit everything that you want the newcomer to accept. This takes a lot of time and effort and a lot of patience, too. On the other hand, the newcomer might be willing to be sincere and accept everything quickly and with ease. And every now and then we run against one of those. And they're my favorites. Oh, God, do I love them. They go, what can I do next? Get me a cup of coffee, dummy. Keep in mind that the environment and the job or the position the newcomer holds will have a big effect on his problem, and that the problems will differ. The person in whose home considerable drinking is done will have a different problem than the one where there's no drinking going on at all. A bartender, a sobering up bartender, will have a different problem than someone who does something else. So everything is a little bit different, but the principles still apply, the same. But there are different mixes within the human being, but the same principles apply. Don't drink. Don't drink. Don't drink. Go to a meeting. Call me. Read the book. Try to give some understanding. Pick up the chairs. I tell the people that I sponsor, you're supposed to pick up your chair and somebody else's, because there's always some jerk who won't pick up his. So you have to do something for the group, and you have to help them, because they don't know how to help themselves. There are some people whose sponsors don't tell them they're supposed to do that. They just go to the meeting and leave. And so others have to do that. And I try to train mine to get into service and helping others immediately, as soon as they're new. I'll show them where a mop is, show them where a broom is, show them how to mop up coffee that somebody spilled. And I'll show them by getting a mop and mopping the floor. And I'll show them how to sweep by sweeping the floor. And I'll show them how to pick up chairs by picking up chairs. And I'll show them how to do those things by what I do. I don't tell them what to do. I say, do what I do. Do what I do, not what I say. So I ask for an Alcoholics Anonymous in order to be a sponsor. If you do those things that I do, perhaps you can stay sober too. And there's no reason for you not to be able to. You know, a person that you sponsor who can visualize reasonable, attainable goals and wants to recover is in a much better position to recover than the individual whose outlook appears to himself to be hopeless and barren. And those are the ones that you really like, you know, those sincere newcomers. Well, I'll do anything. But will they? Will they really do anything? And that remains to be seen. We watch them by their actions too, don't we? We're never judged by what we say. We're judged on what we do. What are you willing to do? What kind of an example are you as a sponsor willing to set for those people who come along after you? Are you the best member of Alcoholics Anonymous you can be? That's what I strive to be. And I don't always make it because I'm human. But I strive for that. In setting that example, then I can expect people to do the same things that I do, at least with the frequency or approaching the frequency that I do. In other words, if the sponsor comes across as a person that knows himself and his abilities, one that is sure he can and will do certain things, the sponsor's responsibility will be easier. On the other hand, if the sponsor meets up with a man or a woman who's given up all hopes in life, his job will be that much harder to accomplish. Helping to change a person's negative attitude is one of accepting or positive is a slow and painstaking process that will tax all of your resources sometimes. Certainly your patience and your understanding. It must be mentioned again and again that if a person is not interested in AA's solution but only expects you to act as a banker for his financial difficulties or as a nurse for his sprees, you should probably drop him until he changes his mind or finds some other spiritual approach that perhaps he can accept. If he's lucky and has a family, the sponsor should get to know them. Explaining the AA program to them, point out that while the alcoholic needs understanding, particularly during his first days of sobriety, he is not to be babied or pampered because he is living normally for perhaps the first time in his life. He isn't any damn hero. Urge the family not to expect too much too soon and not to treat him like a hero when he makes the decision to stop drinking. Don't act like a professional marriage counselor. Instead, point out that many marriages were saved once the alcoholism problem has been brought under control. Tell the family about the Al-Anon family groups, which include other relatives of alcoholics who may or may not be in AA. Above all, don't get involved in family arguments. Suggest to the person that you sponsor to be honest, to be principled, and to make amends on a proper line, not to be guilt-ridden about the past. Because all they can do now is to do what they can do now. You can't undo the past. And you can't overcome the past instantly. If possible, the family should try not to tell your story, and the prospective sponsor should try to avoid meeting the man through the family, if you can. But it's not always possible. In other words, do it in a neutral surrounding where it doesn't look like you're on her side or his side, the sober one in the family, because they think somebody's ganging up against them. So very simply, what you want to do is you want to be a friend to that person and to help them deal with her or him or it or whatever it happens to be. You want them to know that you're on their side and that you'll help them through anything that you can help them. But you want the family also to know that what you're there for is to help that person so that they can be a viable member of society and a good human being and perhaps a good father or mother, whichever the case may be, or a good brother or sister or son or daughter, a good employee and a good human being. Perhaps if they hook on to the program of Alcoholics Anonymous as you have as a sponsor, then perhaps they can become that too. And that's what you want to let the person know. And if your experience has been that it works, If you try. You're going to have failures with those people that you sponsor, just as you have had failures with keeping up with some of the ideals that you have set for yourself. But understand that if you try and try and try and try, you'll make it through. And that sponsorship is the most valid thing, because if you have a bunch of people that you're sponsoring, and I should think that a person who's been sober for 2 or 3 years should be sponsoring about 5 people. And if you're not sponsoring anybody by the time you've been sober 2 or 3 years, you're sick. And you're going to get a lot sicker. You're going to get a lot sicker. Because what you're doing is trying to keep the program all to yourself. You know, it's impossible to keep the program to yourself. You have to give it away. And if you don't give it away, you can't sustain sobriety. You can't sustain your own company. As Peggy says, AA is burgeoning, and it's really growing, and it's getting bigger and bigger all the time. And we need people to sponsor. We need people who are willing to give themselves away, who are willing to spend the time with a newcomer, just to reassure themselves of their own sobriety, and perhaps be able to give away a little bit of that which they have gotten and been given to them so freely. And that's why I'm active in AA, because I could never repay the man who made a 12-step call on me and sponsored me. There's no way I could ever repay him. How can I pay him for my life? The only thing that I can do is to hope to pass that along to somebody else. And that's the only thing that I've ever been asked to do, to pass that along. And that's funny, you know, Bill Wilson's autobiography, which in print now, it's brand new, is called Pass It Along. And isn't that what it's all about? Just pass along what you have to somebody else. And if you don't, and you consider yourself a member of Alcoholics Anonymous, I got news for you. I don't consider you a member of Alcoholics Anonymous. I consider you attending meetings of Alcoholics Anonymous, but I don't consider you a member. I don't consider those fellows that I sponsor members unless they're helping somebody else. Because that's what it's all about, isn't it? Isn't that what our 12 steps says? Isn't that what our 12 steps says? Membership is really not just a desire to stop drinking, but it's a desire to grow. And that desire to grow has to come from the fact that you're helping others. You're not going to grow unless you do that. My sponsor has certainly helped me. No question about that in my mind. And there have been times I know that I would have killed for that man. He was that good for me. But I know one thing out of my own experience, that the fellows that I have sponsored have been much more valuable to me than that sponsor ever was. Because they have allowed me to grow, they have allowed me to get to know myself, and they have allowed me to get to know other people. And you know the strange thing, when they call and tell me about their petty little problems, I don't think about my petty little problems at all. And that's the validity of sponsorship. I am not thinking about me when I am thinking about you. And so that's what it's all about. And this will end the second section. And I want to thank you very much. And if there are any questions, you'll get them up here right away. We can take care of them now before we zip to lunch.
We are going to be breaking for lunch, so why don't... Okay, we'll handle several of these questions now. How do you sponsor a person with a limited education such as reading? You know, this is a real problem, and I have... there's no difference in my verbal communication with the person, even if they have a limited education. The smarter a person is, the harder it is for them to get sober in the first place. Priests, doctors, and lawyers are real sons of you-know-what to sponsor because they always know better than you. So as far as limited education is concerned, that's okay. However, if they do have a problem with reading, there are, and I'm not plugging this, but there are tapes of the Big Book, readings of the Big Book that are available. And we have, as a matter of fact, you know, there's a fellow in our group. And teach him to read, yeah. Because... we've got a guy who had like a third grade education, John Smelter, and he was in the penitentiary. God, he burned a garage down when he was 8 or something, and he started going to jail. And he went to jail off and on until he got sober. And he didn't know how to read. And he taught himself to read by reading the Big Book. So you can encourage that as well. There is a fellow who has dyslexia and was never treated for it. You know that backward stuff? He uses tapes. So, you know, there's lots of different ways. How many sponsors should someone have and why? In my opinion, they should have one. And the reason for that is that I am a person who will get the easier, softer answer every time. And if I have two or three sponsors, I'm going to go to each one and interview them as to the result of my problem, and I will pick the one I like. And the one I like may not be the one I need. So I feel like I got to stick with one. You know, it's worked for me. No. What if your sponsor is not doing what you hear others say you should do and what she's telling you to do? Then she's talking the talk and not walking the walk. And I don't think I need to say any more than that. What about sponsoring close friends or family? I'm concerned about maintaining objectivity or ability to bring a different perspective to a problem. It's funny because Sandy is a close friend of mine, but she wasn't a close friend of mine when I started sponsoring. So if it's a close friend from years ago, when we and you were drinking and so forth, I think they'd be better off with somebody else. But if you come in and sponsor somebody that you don't know from the beginning and then learn to love them and grow with them and become interdependent, then there's nothing wrong with that. Family, forget it. You know, because I've got a son who's practicing for the program. He's not perfected it yet, but he's practicing. We don't know if he'll make it or not. But the point is that there is no way that his father could sponsor him. I mean, just think about it, you know. So anyway, that's all those that I have. Remember, these are just my opinions based on
it. The first question I was given here, it says, what do you mean by a principled man? I mean very simply that the actions that he takes are ones that are acceptable to the people around him. Maybe not the words that he says, but the actions that he takes, what he does, are acceptable to the people around him. I mean that he is never turns down an AA request. I mean that he does everything that he can possibly do to help somebody else. I mean that he says when you make a commitment, stick with the commitment. And I mean when he says that, that's what he does. I think that if you make a commitment to go to work, that means that you have to be there at 8 o'clock in the morning. If that's the starting time, and you have to stay there and give them 8 hours worth of work. And that's a commitment. And that's a principle by which we follow in order to get well and be self-supporting. I believe that the principle of work is like a prayer. And I think that that's something that you have to understand rather than for me to explain it to you. The principle of self-support just makes you feel better about yourself. Frankly, I won't sponsor anybody who doesn't work. They have to get a job. Unemployment is not acceptable to me. Unemployment compensation, unless you're injured, is not acceptable to me. I won't sponsor somebody who's on the dole. They will have to be getting a job. Now, I don't mean if somebody loses a job that they can't get assistance. And there are times when all of us need assistance, and that's understandable too. But I want them to get a job. When you say that, that people that have been sober 3 years need to sponsor five people, are you saying make yourself available to sponsor? No. I'm saying sponsor. Now, the number five is a goal. But do something, for crying out loud. You know, your mother only carried you 9 months. What are you waiting for? Isn't it time that you help somebody else? And, you know, I think that the numbers of people that you sponsor really doesn't have too much difference, doesn't make too much difference. But I found with the fellows that I sponsor, if they're sponsoring five people, boy, I don't hear from them half as much. You know, they call me and say, I've got this guy and I don't know what to do. It's a very short conversation. You know, they aren't thinking about themselves. They're thinking of... How can you say it's okay to do anything as long as we don't drink when you say we should change 360 degrees? The object is to change 360 degrees, and if you ever make it, let me know, because you're not going to. I'm not going to, and I haven't seen anybody else change. In some areas, we can change rapidly, and we can change completely, but in other areas, we're not going to be able to do that because we have a will of our own. But... You know, when I say it's okay to do anything that you want as long as we don't drink, I'm talking to the fellows that I sponsor, and that doesn't give them license to do things that are wrong for them. That just lets them know if they do something wrong, I can help them if they don't drink. If drink, you can't help them because they're lost. You know, we were not bad people who came here to get good. We were sick people who came here to get well. And so we're going to have some do some bad things. But, you know, I've never seen anybody do anything bad in Alcoholics Anonymous that got them drunk. I've seen people do a lot of damn things. And I've done a number of things myself that I'm not too proud of. But I haven't gotten drunk over it. Drinking is what will prevent us from growing, not the pain that we get ourselves in by our own self-will. So just try to get across the idea to them that you can help them if they want help through any situation. And you can, because if you don't know the answer or the direction to give, your sponsor can give it, or some other person can give it. You can get it from them. On choosing a sponsor, you talked about your ego with someone with less sobriety. My sponsor goes out of town during the week, and he says to call another one of his pigeons. I have a problem. They all have less time of the program than I. Some a little better quality because of having their sponsor's direction for a longer period of time. My ego does get in the way. I would rather hear it from my sponsor than to have it filtered through these other pigeons. Yak it, yak it, yak it, yak it. So what? Who cares? I don't know who wrote that, but what difference does it make? What you're doing is you're getting help. You're getting, obviously, the amount of help that you need. And those other fellows have heard the same message. Maybe they've heard something that you haven't heard. And then you can get the message from them. And by the way, when you call them, isn't it true that your little petty problem just goes down and kind of disappears when you listen to their petty problem? Aren't you kind of helping them by calling them? You know, I'm out of town quite a bit, too. An awful lot, as a matter of fact. And I told everybody, there's one of the fellows that I sponsor is babysitting my house right this weekend. And I told everybody, if you got any problems, call Jim. Jim's only been sober for 5 years. And he hasn't been sober as long as some of the other fellows I sponsor, but I don't really care. You know, this weekend, he's in charge. And he will give them a principled answer to help them, to guide them, and to put a Band-Aid on them until I can get back and put a bandage on them and then let God heal them, because I know I can. This person obviously has an ego problem, and this person who wrote this is obviously very sick. It's one of Lou's pigeons, I can tell. But I think that the main thing that you have to do is to take the time that your sponsor allows you to have. There are some people who really want to take all of my time. And as far as I'm concerned, those people who want to take all of my time are going to get less time than the others who really seem to need it. I give the time on the basis that I think they need it, in my judgment, not in their judgment. Because I think their judgment stinks, or else they wouldn't have asked me to be their sponsor in the first place. And, well, I really believe that to be true. And I'm not going to sit and talk to somebody on the phone for hours and hours, nor am I going to listen to the same problem over and over and over and over again. I'll listen to the problem 3 times, and at the end of that period of time, I will say, okay, I've heard it 3 times. That's all I want to hear. This is what I suggest you do. You either do it, get another sponsor, or I don't want to hear it anymore. You can give me a progress report on how it's coming along. But take some action. Don't live in the problem. Live in the solution. The solution is where we want to be, not in the problem. And if you're thinking about the problem all the time, you are not in the solution. You need to take some action. And that's all the questions I have. And I've run out of voice, or I ran out a while ago, and Peggy's tugging, and it's time to go to lunch. And save yourself. Thank you.
Thank you.
This section has to do with picking the sponsor. And says, even when consideration is given to assigning the 12 steppers, there will be times when the sponsor and the prospective member don't click. And those things happen. Some members, because of their training or occupation or natural talents, are really better presenting new ideas to others. There's a natural tendency to call upon those people to do all of the 12-step work or sponsorship. And it's really not necessary to do that. Anyone who's an alcoholic and has a desire to help someone else is perfectly capable of going on a 12-step call if they've been sober for a few months and taking a younger member along with them. And anyone who has been sober for a few months in Alcoholics Anonymous and has a regular attendance at meetings and has a sponsor themselves is certainly capable of sponsoring a new person. Members with ordinary abilities, just the, you know, the simple person who really is not, you know, the quiet type, they can sponsor people just as well as the mouthy ones. It really doesn't make any difference. It's a matter of having a desire to help somebody else. So there isn't any mysterious class of sponsors in AA. Anyone can really be a sponsor if they have a desire to help. And that's the main thing that you have to take into consideration. You know, there are some members of Alcoholics Anonymous who've been sober for 20 or 30 years whom I wouldn't ask to sponsor me on a bet because they're unprincipled. I'm not looking for good people because I'm not going to find any good people in AA, and I've discovered that. But I will find some principled people, and I picked the man to sponsor me whom I believe is not a good man by any stretch of the imagination. And I mean that. He is not a good man. Clancy ain't a good man. He's a lot of things, but he isn't a good man. But he is a most principled member of Alcoholics Anonymous, and he is the most principled member that I know. Now, there may be others that you know, but he is the most principled that I know. And I need someone to be principled to give me the guidance. How long they've been sober, I can tell you one thing very simply. If you're going to pick a sponsor, you have to pick someone who's been sober longer than you have. And there's a very good reason for that. And the good reason for it is that, you know, if I could, for an example, you know, I know Lou, and Lou has a good program. And he's active in Alcoholics Anonymous. And I could, you know, he's been sober for 9 years. And I could ask Lou to sponsor me. But if I ask him to sponsor me, knowing that I've been sober for over 19 years, and I ask Lou for some direction in my life, he would say, well, Dick, why don't you do that? And I'd say, okay, and then I'd walk away and I'd say, that's what I'd say if I'd been sober for 9 years. That isn't what I really need. So I would discharge what he had to say in thinking that I knew best. So I must have someone that's been sober longer than I have, just for simply my own ego reasons. It doesn't have anything to do with a person's ability to sponsor, because Lou would be as capable of sponsoring me as anyone else would. But unfortunately, he hasn't been sober long enough. And therefore, he can't do that. It's just impossible. Because my ego would not permit that. I don't think it says some members think a person should have at least 6 months of continuous sobriety before they go on 12-step calls or before they sponsor. Frankly, I think the sooner you go on 12-step calls and the sooner you start sponsoring, the better you're going to be. As long as you have a sponsor to guide you and to help you with the new person, that's all you really need. The only thing that we have is acquire good knowledge of the 12-step program of recovery and understand that that's all we have to give away. The only thing that I have to give away is my experience. My experience has been that of recovering through the 12-step program of Alcoholics Anonymous, and that's all I have to give away. And that's all I think anybody has to give away. That's the only message that I have. And there are some people that seem to think that they have another message, and I don't know exactly where they're coming from, but I feel that it's necessary simply to go on that basis that I know only my experience, and I can share that, and I can share nothing else. Okay?
Obviously, because of our limits on time, you know, I'm sure that all of us could talk a long, long time about picking a sponsor and finding someone, my basic comment on that would be to look around the meetings and see who not only is sharing things and happy and what, you know, there are a lot of people in Alcoholics Anonymous who are great at talking the talk. They can talk the talk and it just comes trippingly off their tongue. They're silver-tongued devils, you know. But when it comes to walking the walk, there's a disparity there. And I think what you have to do, and you see, the 12 steps of our program says that having had a spiritual awakening as the result of these steps, the previous 11, that we've carried the message and so forth, and it practices principles in all our affairs. And so if you walk the walk, you are actually practicing the 12 steps in its fullest. And that means not only within the meetings. It's easy for me to be nice for an hour or so, isn't it? It's easy for me to be nice. I mean, I walk in here and I'm just nice. But it's when I'm at home with those mood-changing people. You know, I am not taking or never have taken any, at least not since I've been sober, any mood-altering drugs, but I have been around a lot of mood-altering people. And I think that you've got to really look and see somebody that you think is walking the walk, you know, who has something that you think you want, you know, that certain twinkle in the eye, you know, and that peppiness of step and that willingness to do those things. You'll see those people again and again and again because they show up at meetings like real alcoholics always do and like fake alcoholics don't. Anyway, okay, now, what about the protective person that you're going to sponsor? Now, there's a debate here, and it really is nothing but regional. In California, they're called babies. Some places, they're called sponsees, and that sounds like some kind of sponge or something. I don't know what it is. Or a disease, maybe, or something. Sponsee, that's funny, isn't it? And then where I came into the program, they are called pigeons, and I know Marbette doesn't like pigeons, but that's the way I grew up. That's what they were called. I was even called a squab because I was too young to be a pigeon, you know. But anyway, it really, Dr. Bob called them pigeons, so it really did start in Akron. And sometimes they called them Mark, and sometimes they called them, what the hell is it, prospect. Like it was a business deal, you know, sort of thing. So it really doesn't make any difference. But anyway, I'll be comfortable with pigeons. So the prospective pigeon, the person that's going to be sponsored. And it says, the drinking alcoholic who is still in his confusion and sickness is looking for someone or something that will lead him out of his darkness and despair. He needs you, but never forget that you need him just as desperately if you want contented sobriety. And that's something I think is forever. I have to remember that I need you much more than you need me. I mean, that's it. You know, that has to do with humility and everything. You know, it really does. And I'm not an humble person. I'm arrogant as hell. Just arrogant as hell. Always will be, I think. But, you know, if I'm going to have contented and permanent sobriety, then I have to have a degree of humility in my life. And by the way, let me insert this at this time. I would like for you, as just an exercise, if you're a little bored one day, to take a look at the 12 traditions of Alcoholics Anonymous and not as they apply to the groups of Alcoholics Anonymous, but as they apply to you as individuals. If it hadn't been for the traditions of Alcoholics Anonymous, I would have divorced old what's-his-name over here a long time ago. They are actually ego deflation at depth, individually and group. But they really are meant for you to take personally, too. You know, and there is nothing I enjoy than a good study of the tradition. So that's really, you know, that's just an aside. One of the foundation stones of the AA program is that an alcoholic cannot cure himself. You know, how many times have we said, just leave me alone, I want to be happy? You know, if I went, you know, I felt like that sometimes. You ever felt like going in the closet and sitting down, pulling all the clothes down over your head, you know, and just sitting there a while and letting out a primal scream or two, you know? Well, you know, I do that, and after the scream, then I get to thinking. And, you know, if I went in there semi-happy, I'll come out there depressed as hell. Because my mind has a tendency to go to every negative thing that's happened to me. You know, I'm not a naturally grateful person. I don't spring out of bed and say, I'm so glad to be alive and it's wonderful today. And, oh, is that wonderful, those few little people down there waiting to be fed their eggs. And, oh, what an opportunity this is for me. Thank you, God, for this. You know, I'm not like that at all. You know, I get up and son of a bitch. Where are the Cheerios? You know, that's the way I am. I, for years, made lunches for the kids to go to school. And I'd sit there at the counter and say, God, Daddy got to eat every day. I really have to eat. If they didn't have to eat, I wouldn't have to make these things, you know. And this is a paragon of Alcoholics Anonymous, you know. And I'm just, the point is that my actions didn't say that. I went ahead and made their lunch, shoved it at them, and they tripped merrily off school. If an alcoholic who has received the benefits of the program continues to drink, the individual may be said to be failing. But if the sponsor gives up, the sponsor is failing. The program never fails. The program never fails. But we're humans. You know, I have learned more from my failures at sponsorship than I have from my successes. There's this one old fraud, you'd just love her. Drunk as a tooth right now. She's a great big gal. She plays classical piano like you wouldn't believe. She is an artist of great note. And I mean, she's an actress. But she can't stay sober if she stood on her patoot. I mean, she's just really hopeless. And I learned more from her because I was going to will that girl sober. Absolutely will her sober. Don't you dare drink. Don't you know you're going to die. And threats didn't help. Nothing helped. And she's still drinking. She comes back and visits us. And as Dick said, you know, when she comes back, she usually gravitates over and kind of nudges up and, you know, says, will you sponsor me again? And I have sponsored her again and again and again. And I have learned a lot from her, and I love her. She has the right to drink. She has the right to drink, you know, and I can't stop her when she has that right. We believe that a drinking alcoholic is a sick man incapable of thinking clearly and without the necessary control of his actions to follow a reasonable line of conduct. But the sober sponsor is supposed to be a qualified instrument of the program and therefore never uses the failures of the drinker as an excuse for giving up. Can't give up because they keep drinking. Until the time when the drinker says that he does not want help. And if he says, I don't want your help, I say, bye-bye. Because I don't have time. You know, I don't think any of us, we should be helping someone who, there's too many of us who know. You know, one of the wonderful things about sponsorship and one of the reasons for it, because I got a feeling that as big as this area is, it's getting ready to explode. And there are going to be so many people who need sponsoring that all of you are going to have to help do it, you know. Because if you don't, you know, remember how lonesome you felt when you got here? How lonely and lonesome? And here come hundreds of lonely, lonesome people. And they need to feel in this huge, vast thing that is Alcoholics Anonymous now, they need the personal touch. They need that one person who's going to be there to help them. Not all people asking for help have a desire to stop drinking. Remember, there's only one requirement for membership, and that is a desire to stop drinking. Sometimes it is necessary to help the newcomer make a decision to stop drinking. That is why we have the 12-step call. We tell the newcomer of our experiences, not just with alcohol, but with alcoholism, with the disease of alcoholism, what it has done to us, and then share how we recovered and let him choose. Very briefly, let me give you what I have sort of set down as stages of pigeon ship. Not ship, ship. Marlon, oh, Marbette sitting over there. The first stage that you're going to find is the anything, anything. You know, these are the people, you know, they're the first brand new people, and they go, this is my sponsor. And then they walk around holding the hand of what they consider to be their higher power at that point, you know. And they show up, you know, and they go over to anybody who'll listen and say, that's my sponsor over there, you know. And it's very much like childhood, adolescence, and adulthood. Childhood is dependency. Children are dependent. You know, they don't know how to fix stuff. You know, they don't know how to cook and sew and stuff, so you take care of them, you know. And then they get to be adolescents, and this is the nothing-nothing stage. They ain't going to do nothing. I'm on my own now. I can do it. I can make decisions all by myself. I'm a big girl. That is what you call the independent stage. You know, where they're gonna and usually what I do is I usually say, well, you have that right. You have the right to be dead wrong. But they do have the right, you know. So I let go of that. I suggest a certain thing of action, and usually, you know how an alcoholic, you know how we are. If you tell me that I have to do something, I say, no, sir, I don't have to do it at all. And then you tell me, you say, well, no, you don't have to do it. Then I say, well, I want to do it. You know, when you tell me I have to, I don't want to. But when you tell me I don't have to, I want to. I'm real contrary. And that's that stage of independence, and so we have to learn to deal with it in that direction. And then there's that stage where you are kind of growing out of your adolescence and you're into, okay, you're probably right. You know, that sort of resignation of, yeah, you've been right before, so I guess you're right now. I don't like it. And, you know, usually I will say something like, doesn't matter to me whether you like it. Oh, it doesn't matter to you if I like it or not? Nope, doesn't matter to me. Well, okay, then I guess I like it. You know, and then they go on about their business. Finally, you get to the stage of I'm okay, you're okay. So it really, you go from a stage of dependency to independent to interdependent. And the best sponsor-pigeon relationship is an interdependent relationship. And that, my friends, is an adult. An adult is interdependent. And that's what we all hope to go through. Thank you.
You know, the sponsor can and will and should be willing to help their pigeon in a multitude of ways, but none of them will have a greater effect than the example that the sponsor sets. It's the example that we set. You know, the old phrase, remember what you are, speak so loudly that I can't hear what you're saying. So what we have to do is to be the best members of Alcoholics Anonymous we can be. And the object is to do those things that, don't ask someone to do something that you can't do. Don't ask someone to do something that you aren't willing to do. Don't ask someone to do something that you have not had the experience in doing. And be polite. Alcoholics Anonymous, if you really want to put a test to it, is it AA or not? Ask yourself, is it polite? And it is polite to be honest. It is polite to tell the truth. We don't have to be brutally honest. I don't think there is such a thing as brutality, and there is such a thing as honesty, but I don't think there is such a thing as brutal honesty. I think that we can be frank, and I think that we can be forthright, and I think that we can be kind. And I think kindness is the measure. You know, people come to you as a sponsor because they think that you have wisdom. And wisdom is a combination of two things. It's a combination of love and intellect. And without one, it can't exist. If it's just love, all we do is just baby them. And if it's intellect, all we do is tell them. But a combination of love and intellect is wisdom. And I think what they do is they come to us for wisdom, what they believe to be wisdom. What we believe to be really practical solution, part of the practical solution of being able to be stay sober and to get over the guilt and the low self-esteem that they have in their lives. But it's much more, sponsorship is much more than just taking a new person to a meeting and seeing them through beginner's meeting. At the very minimum, it should develop into a helpful relationship. And it should include this frank exchange of confidences, and that you have to understand that it's in every area of your life. You know, my sponsor knows everything about me that there is to know. He knows where I came from and what I did and where I am and what I'm doing today. When I call him each week, I tell him what I have done that past week and what I'm going to do the next week, what my plans are, and if I have any questions about what to do, I ask him and take the direction that he gives me. And I tell him this so that I don't stray away. And I talk about everything, every part of my life. It really doesn't make any difference what part of it is. I'm willing to talk about anything that he wants me to talk about. Because if I share myself, then something happens. You know, I'm giving myself away, but, you know, he gives himself to me at the same time. In this frank exchange, and people talk about taking a fifth step with their sponsor, I will not sponsor someone who will not do a fifth step. And people say, oh, well, the big book doesn't suggest that. It suggests that you find, you know, maybe a priest, or maybe a this, or maybe a that, or just a well-meaning friend, you know, someone that you can really trust. What the hell is a sponsor if the sponsor isn't a well-meaning friend? Sponsorship is not developed when the Big Book was being written, it really hadn't developed into what it is today. And I always have to remember that in the Big Book it says, cling to the thought. In God's hands, your deep, dark past is your most valuable asset. And with that, you can help others avert death and disaster. And I have to remember that. And when someone does a fifth step with me, I do a fifth step with them. They know about me like I know about them. And the question would be then, well, what if your sponsor gets drunk and goes around and tells about you? Big deal. Big deal. There really isn't anything that I have ever done in my life that I haven't shared at a meeting in one way or another, eventually. Usually in a general way, not a specific way, but sometimes even in a specific way. I had a habit of telling those things that I didn't want to tell anybody else ever that I was going to take to my grave with me at a men's meeting, at a men's stag meeting. Every anniversary, I would drop another one on them, you know. And I ran out after a while. I just didn't have anything else to tell them. It wasn't, you know, there isn't anything significant in my life, really, that I'm afraid to tell anybody or that I'm afraid to share. And, you know, it's kind of funny. I've sponsored an awful lot of people, and I've taken over 100 fifth steps, I know. And they never gather together and talk about me and try to put this together and publish it in the newsprint or something like that. They do, I'd kill them. But, you know, we need to know many things about the pigeon that are not ordinarily disclosed in ordinary conversation. You know, I'd get drunk and go to jail and go to work the next day, and somebody would say, my God, you look bad. And I'd say, well, you'd look bad, too, if you spent 6 hours in the fifth precinct over here. You know, I couldn't say that. And so I had to say, oh, yes, I've got the flu. I had to lie. Well, I don't have to lie anymore. I can be truthful. I can tell somebody. A sponsor should be understanding. And believe me, I've never been shocked by anything that anybody has ever told me. I don't know whether you have or not, but I've never been. I'm just unshockable. You know, there just isn't anything new, because there isn't anything that anyone has ever done that I wouldn't have done myself had I been in the same position. I would have done the same exact thing. I know that. I don't care whether it's murder or mayhem or what. It really doesn't make any difference. I can understand, because I'm an alcoholic, and an alcoholic does things. You know, like Peggy says, we're never boring. That's for damn sure. And I would have done anything, and I know that I was capable of doing anything. I certainly thought about murder. My poor ex-wife, if she'd have known the amount of time I spent thinking about how to kill her off, she would have gotten an armed guard, I think. But the sponsor confides, too. You know, I tell about my past. I share my past with them so that they can understand that I understand. Sometimes I speak in parables. You know, they say, come to me with this terrible problem. I'll start telling and sharing about me and something that happened to me. And they find the answer in that. But these matters include not only problems related to drinking, but concerning finances, their financial situation, their home life, their business or work situation, anything else that affects the peace of mind of the individual. Anything. It doesn't make any difference. Because there are principles to follow that will get you out of any situation you're in as long as you stay sober. Fellows that I sponsor have one very simple thing that they know. They can do anything in God's earth that they wish to do. And I really don't care what they do as long as they don't drink. Because sober, we can get out of anything. Drinking, we can't do anything. We're lost. If you get drunk, you're dead. We can't help that. But we can help someone who's sober. So don't drink. That's the first principle that I teach everyone that I sponsor. I don't care if you kill your... Just don't drink about it. You know, come and tell me, for crying out loud. You know, we'll get you a good lawyer. But it isn't limited, really, to the early part of sobriety. Sponsorship is a continued relationship. And as Peg says, eventually it changed into one of mutual aid and trust and respect. And usually friendship. Now, I don't always like all the people that I sponsor, and I want you to know that. And some of them I've sponsored for years, and I still don't like them. But I don't have to like them. All I have to do is to help them. And sponsoring those people that I like really makes me the best member of Alcoholics Anonymous I can be, because then I have to really be principled, don't I? I have to really stick to what those things are that I know that are most principled for them. And so they make me a very good member of Alcoholics Anonymous when I'm dealing with them, I can tell you. There are a lot of things to take into consideration when the sponsor decides to take a newcomer under his wing. First of all, is the newcomer serious? Does he really want to stop drinking? Or is he just using the sponsor to get connections, money, or a place to flop for a while, or trying to get back in the big bed with his wife, or whatever it happens to be? It's all right to help the newcomer with these problems at the right time and the right place, but too much too soon they can't handle. So very gradually integrate them back into a way of living that they can stand. Don't throw it to them all at once because they can't handle everything at once. Just give them one thing to do at a time, and when they finish with that one, give them another thing to do, and another, and another, and another, until they can learn to live their life comfortably without drinking. Get over the problem. Help them through each and every problem very gradually so that they can do that. They might be skeptical and reject all the ideas, but it'll be up to you to explain bit by bit everything that you want the newcomer to accept. This takes a lot of time and effort and a lot of patience, too. On the other hand, the newcomer might be willing to be sincere and accept everything quickly and with ease. And every now and then we run against one of those. And they're my favorites. Oh, God, do I love them. Thinking, what can I do next? Get me a cup of coffee, dummy. Keep in mind that the environment and the job or the position the newcomer holds will have a big effect on his problem, and that the problems will differ. The person in whose home considerable drinking is done will have a different problem than the one where there's no drinking going on at all. A bartender, a sobering up bartender, will have a different problem than someone who does something else. So everything is a little bit different, but the principles still apply the same. But there are different mixes within the human being, but the same principles apply. Don't drink. Don't drink. Don't drink. Go to a meeting. Call me. Read the book. Try to give some understanding. Pick up the chairs. I tell the people that I sponsor, you're supposed to pick up your chair and somebody else's, because there's always some jerk who won't pick up his. So you have to do something for the group, and you have to help them, because they don't know how to help themselves. There's some people whose sponsors don't tell them they're supposed to do that. They just go to the meeting and leave. And so others have to do that. And I try to train mine to get into service and helping others immediately, as soon as they're new. I'll show them where a mop is, show them where a broom is, show them how to mop up coffee that somebody spilled. And I'll show them by getting a mop and mopping the floor. And I'll show them how to sweep by sweeping the floor. And I'll show them how to pick up chairs by picking up chairs. And I'll show them how to do those things by what I do. I don't tell them what to do. I say, do what I do. Do what I do, not what I say. So I ask for an Alcoholics Anonymous in order to be a sponsor. If you do those things that I do, perhaps you can stay sober too. And there's no reason for you not to be able to. You know, a person that you sponsor who can visualize reasonable, attainable goals and wants to recover is a much better position to recover than the individual whose outlook appears to himself to be hopeless and barren. And those are the ones that you really like, you know, those sincere newcomers. Well, I'll do anything. But will they? Will they really do anything? And that remains to be seen. We watch them by their actions too, don't we? We're never judged by what we say. We're judged on what we do. What are you willing to do? What kind of an example are you as a sponsor willing to set for those people who come along after you? Are you the best member of Alcoholics Anonymous you can be? That's what I strive to be. And I don't always make it because I'm human. But I strive for that. And setting that example, then I can expect people to do the same things that I do, at least with the frequency or approaching the frequency that I do. In other words, if the sponsor comes across as a person that knows himself and his abilities, one that is sure is sure he can and will do certain things. The sponsor's responsibility will be easier. On the other hand, if the sponsor meets up with a man or a woman who's given up all hopes in life, his job will be that much harder to accomplish. Helping to change a person's negative attitude is one to one of accepting or positive is a slow and painstaking process that will tax all of your resources sometimes. Certainly your patience and your understanding. It must be mentioned again and again that if a person is not interested in AA's solution but only expects you to act as a banker for his financial difficulties or as a nurse for his sprees, you should probably drop him until he changes his mind or finds some other spiritual approach that perhaps he can accept. If he's lucky and has a family, his sponsor should get to know that. Explaining the AA program to them, point out that while the alcoholic needs understanding, particularly during his first days of sobriety, he is not to be babied or pampered because he is living normally for perhaps the first time in his life. He isn't any damn hero. Urge the family not to expect too much too soon and not to treat him like a hero when he makes the decision to stop drinking. Don't act like a professional marriage counselor. Instead, point out that many marriages were saved once the alcoholism problem has been brought under control. Tell the family about the Al-Anon family groups, which include other relatives of alcoholics who may or may not be in AA. Above all, don't get involved in family arguments. Suggest to the person that you sponsor to be honest, to be principled, and to make amends on a proper line, not to be guilt-ridden about the past. Because all they can do now is to do what they can do now. You can't undo the past. And you can't overcome the past instantly. If possible, the family should try not to tell your story, and the prospective sponsor should try to avoid meeting the man through the family, if you can. But it's not always possible. In other words, do it in a neutral surrounding where it doesn't look like you're on her side or his side, the sober one in the family, because they think somebody's ganging up against them. So very simply, what you want to do is you want to be a friend to that person and to help them deal with her or him or it or whatever it happens to be. You want them to know that you're on their side and that you'll help them through anything that you can help them. But you want the family also to know that what you're there for is to help that person so that they can be a viable member of society and a good human being and perhaps a good father or mother, whichever the case may be, or a good brother or sister or son or daughter, a good employee and a good human being. Perhaps if they hook on to the program of Alcoholics Anonymous as you have as a sponsor, then perhaps they can become that too. And that's what you want to let the person know. And if your experience has been that it works, If you try. You're going to have failures with those people that you sponsor, just as you have had failures with keeping up with some of the ideals that you have set for yourself. But understand that if you try and try and try and try, you'll make it through. And that sponsorship is the most valid thing, because if you have a bunch of people that you're sponsoring, and I should think that a person who's been sober for 2 or 3 years should be sponsoring about 5 people. And if you're not sponsoring anybody by the time you've been sober 2 or 3 years, you're sick. And you're going to get a lot sicker. You're going to get a lot sicker. Because what you're doing is trying to keep the program all to yourself. You know, it's impossible to keep the program to yourself. You have to give it away. And if you don't give it away, you can't sustain sobriety. You can't sustain your own comfort. As Peggy says, AA is burgeoning, and it's really growing, and it's getting bigger and bigger all the time. And we need people to sponsor. We need people who are willing to give themselves away, who are willing to spend the time with a newcomer, just to reassure themselves of their own sobriety, and perhaps be able to give away a little bit of that which they have gotten and been given to them so freely. And that's why I'm active in AA, because I could never repay the man who made a 12-step call on me and sponsored me. There's no way that I could ever repay him. How can I pay him for my life? The only thing that I can do is to hope to pass that along to somebody else. And that's the only thing that I've ever been asked to do, to pass that along. And that's funny, you know, Bill Wilson's autobiography, which in print now, brand new, is called Pass It Along. And isn't that what it's all about? Just pass along what you have to somebody else. And if you don't, and you consider yourself a member of Alcoholics Anonymous, I got news for you. I don't consider you a member of Alcoholics Anonymous. I consider you attending meetings of Alcoholics Anonymous, but I don't consider you a member. I don't consider those fellows that I sponsor members unless they're helping somebody else. Because that's what it's all about. Isn't that what our 12 steps says? Isn't that what our 12 steps says? Membership is really not just a desire to stop drinking, but it's a desire to grow. And that desire to grow has to come from the fact that you're helping others. You're not going to grow unless you do that. My sponsor has certainly helped me. And there's no question about that in my mind. And there have been times I know that I would have killed for that man. He was that good for me. But I know one thing out of my own experience, that the fellows that I have sponsored have been much more valuable to me than that sponsor ever was. Because they have allowed me to grow, they have allowed me to get to know myself, and they have allowed me to get to know other people. And you know the strange thing, when they call and tell me about their petty little problems, I don't think about my petty little problems at all. And that's the validity of sponsorship. I am not thinking about me when I am thinking about you. And so that's what it's all about. And this will end the second section. And I want to thank you very much. And if there are any questions, you'll get them up here right away. We can take care of them now before we zip to lunch.